Our scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 27. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, you've received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not by its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay, and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how we ought to pray. But the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the living word of God. Thanks be to God. Holy Spirit, we ask that you inspire us, inspire our hearing, inspire our doing, our believing, our being, your reflection of resurrection hope in this world. Be with us this day, O God, inspiring us in new and creative ways to be your faithful people, continuing your story of resurrection in this world. Amen. So this week started off really well. Monday started off really, really well. I was sure I knew where I was going with my sermon. I did all of my research early. It was Monday, and I had done all of this research and all of this planning, and I had a nice outline and a good flow going to my sermon. I even did a little bit of research to find out what my astrological sign is, because I was going to talk about the identity as a child of God. Some of it was right, except for the part that says, I'm emotionally unavailable. I think that was way off base. So I had my direction for my sermon. I knew where I was going. I had it all figured out. And then this week happened. And then life got in the way. And the only thing this week that I've clung to all week long are the words that the Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. This week, I lived with those words echoing in my heart all week long. You see, this week has been emotionally taxing and absolutely exhausting, and it's Sunday, and here I am. Here's why it was emotionally exhausting and taxing. I don't know if you've been following the proceedings that have occurred in the United Methodist Church this week, but Bishop Karen Olivetto, openly lesbian bishop, was elected in the Western jurisdiction of the United Methodist Church. Charges were brought against her. And this week, there was a judicial council ruling again on those charges. The judicial council ruled that the consecration of a gay bishop goes against church law. So for Bishop Oliveto, so not knowing all the political parameters of all these decisions, I called a wise friend who knows a whole lot more than I do. Everyone has to have one of those. She understands the political navigation of an unjust system much better than I do. So I called up Sarah. She happens to be the pastor in Schenectady. And I called up Sarah and I said, tell me what this means. She told me that the bishop will not lose her credentials as a bishop, and the decision goes back to the Western jurisdiction. She also said boards of ordained ministry that ordain people who are openly gay or lesbian will still do that because they don't believe the church law is just, and they're not going to obey an unjust law. So they're going to still continue to fight. Here's where some problem comes in now. And this is where our voice is important. One of the things the decision came out with was that any clergy person that has a marriage license, a gay or lesbian a clergy person that has a marriage license can now be brought up on charges in a way that they weren't able to before because they expanded the definition of practicing homosexual. And when they did that, it puts these clergy at risk of having charges brought against them. And when you have charges brought against you, you have the potential to have your elders' orders revoked. Sighs too deep for words is what spoke to my heart throughout this week. Sighs too deep for words. But we are resurrection people. And we believe that the story doesn't end with sighs too deep for words. It can't. It won't. Because the resurrection shows us that God is a God of everlasting life and hope, and will work that out through us, the redeemed children of the living God. The story isn't over. There were two gentlemen walking from the tomb on that first Easter morning, and as they're walking, they're talking, and they're relating to one another all the things that happened to Jesus. They're talking and they're walking, and I would imagine in that moment they had sighs too deep for words for everything they had gone through. So they're walking, and this man comes up to them, and the man says, "What are you two talking about?" And one of the gentlemen says, "Well, where have you been? Are you the only person in all of Jerusalem that doesn't know what happened to Jesus?" And the man's response was, "Wow, you're slow of heart. You're slow of heart." And so they continue to talk and they continue to walk, and the man was going to go his own way. And the disciples said, "Why don't you join us? Come and join us. Stay with us for a while." And so the man did. And when he did, he sat down at a table. He took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. And suddenly their eyes were open and they realized it was Jesus all along. The story of resurrection wasn't over. The story of the United Methodist Church is not over. There are people who are working and refuse to allow this to be the end of our story. Because we believe that redemption in an unjust, oppressive, unfair, harmful system is ours to change. Now is not the time for us to rest. Now is not the time as a reconciling congregation to let somebody else do the work. This is time for us to be a voice. When those clergy are in trouble, when they're put on suspension and they don't have a salary coming their way. That's time for us to be present. When there are movements afoot or ways that we can be an outward, visible sign of this inward spiritual grace that God is not done with the United Methodist Church, Pastor Drew and I will let you know where and when to show up. Because we need you. And we need to change the church. And I believe we have the resources, the power, and the potential because God isn't finished with us yet. This is an awesome church. So that was part of my week, but my week wasn't over yet. My week wasn't over. So Pastor Drew and I, with some others, with Al and Laura and Steve, we have this exciting new opportunity happening on 70 Beekman Street. Mary Chan and Young Lee are going to lease to us a portion of their building and their space. You see those two windows right there? That's our space. We are, yes, thanks. You see, we believe that we have something here. We believe that embracing everyone through deep, meaningful connections to grow closer to God and transform lives is what's leading us to go onto the west side and be physically present in the neighborhood, reaching out and seeing what the neighborhood needs and wants and how we can be in relationship, affirming all God's children and welcoming them in a space that is loving, radically inclusive, justice, outreach focused, and inviting them to be a part of a loving family of God. Mm-hmm. So this is the inside of the space where we'll have some tables. And some books. There's Laura. Here's a little kitchen. We're excited about this part of the redemption story that God is working out through us and through you. Together we can be builders of a kingdom that has justice and love and peace and mercy for everyone. And builds everyone up in the kingdom of God. Because as redeemed people, that's what we're called to do. As redeemed people, we take this love and embrace everyone wherever we go. I didn't know if I was going to be able to get through my sermon. I wasn't exactly sure where it was all going to take me. As I talked to the children this morning about leaning on the Spirit's presence, helping us in our weakness and giving us courage. To believe that there's hope and there is life, even for the United Methodist Church. Amen.